Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
The riot is coming at you again this week. Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M. We are here to discuss the issues of the day. That's our standard line. But we're also here just to shoot the shit a little bit. If we find something funny, we like to goof on it. If we find something serious, we want to talk about it. And everybody out there should know where to find us if they're interested in the same. You know what time it is, Judo Larry M.
It's that pimp time.
Yeah, boy.
I hit it.
All right. So go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. You could also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, player.fm. You could find us on Spreaker.com, podomatic.com, SoundCloud, YouTube, anywhere great podcasts can be found. Just search for us. Look for That Riot Show, and you'll find us everywhere. And Judo Larium, let me throw this out there. Last week's episode of The Riot featured on Stitcher Radio. They made a nice little tweet about it, had folks pointing to the show. We want to send a shout out to the folks at Stitcher Radio and thank them for that.
That is awesome. Anytime we get a shout out or a...
Yeah, we're whores. We said that.
Yep.
Who's a bigger whore, would you say? Kim Kardashian or The Riot?
Mika Brzezinski.
That wasn't one of the options, but okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And by whore, just for legal purposes, we're talking about an attention whore, not an actual whore who sucks dick, we think, for a living.
Right. That whore is spelled with a W.
But also, first of all, what's the negative stigma with whores? I don't buy into that.
The negative stigma is
there is none
that you are allowing people to do things with you sexually for cash.
Oh,
how do you think ISIS got $2 billion?
Oh, idiot. Yeah, whoring is good. We accept that. You know, Judah Lamb, just to show you the bias against being a little whore in this country.
Yes.
In the news, I noticed that there was a 13-year-old girl who had taken the initiative to start sexting with her friends in high school.
Is this Miley Cyrus or whatever her name is?
This is the God's honest truth. I saw it on CNN. A 13-year-old girl started sexting with her friends in middle school and high school. And she started, sending dirty words and stuff like that.
Yay.
And then she graduated because, you know, she's ambitious, to sending naked pictures of herself to the boys in school.
Even girls who sexed can graduate from school.
Nice. Okay. Oh, that's good. Nice. Except the...
What happened?
You know, her anti-capitalism, repressive, oppressive parents turned her into the local sheriff.
Those filthy communists.
Goddamn communists. What's the matter? Don't you want your girl to grow up to learn the value of a dollar?
I hate when I hear parents who don't want their children to have a career.
And then we wonder why there's a gender gap. Let that little girl become a hula. It worked for Kim Kardashian and her hula sisters and everybody else in that family,
no,
Judo Lariam.
That whole stupid family.
Did you see?
Bad enough, they're Armenian.
Oh, half Armenian.
Oh, really? What's the other half?
Whatever their mom is, I don't know. Half Armenian, half whore. Judo Lariam and I couldn't wait to let out that punchline. We were knocking ourselves over to get to see who get to set it first.
I want everyone to know we did not arrange that ahead of time. That was just done in stereo.
Oh, now let go of my cock.
Half your cock.
All right. But Judo Lariam, enough with little whores who are getting cock blocked by their parents.
All right. Yes, let's leave Obama out of this.
Oh, but you know what? They said there could be felony charges.
For playing golf? No,
for being a little whore. No, actually, because she sexted the stuff to like 18-year-old like seniors in high school.
Oh, cool.
Those poor bastards are going to have potential felony charges against
them. Oh, were they traumatized in one of those?
No. Apparently. Can you imagine how much that sucks? Like, you're an 18-year-old horny male high school senior. All of a sudden, you're sitting in your biology class or something, and your phone goes beep, 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 beep.
camel toe.
And you open up your text and there's a picture of some little whore bent over spreading her fucking 13-year-old lips for you.
Her nubile.
And yet you're the one in trouble.
And you're the one in trouble. I didn't want this message. Did you look at it?
That's bullshit.
You're in trouble.
No, did you look at it? Yes, I did. Did you ask for it? No, I didn't. What'd you do afterwards? I jerked off repeatedly.
Did you enjoy it? Yes. Well, you're in trouble.
That little bitch, though, doesn't get anything happen to her.
How come nobody sexed us?
Yeah, well, I sexed Judo Larry, and he sexed me.
Can we ask some famous women to sex us, or we get in trouble?
We probably get in trouble, but I guess there's no harm in asking.
Well, Mika Brzezinski. Rachel Maddow. Chris Matthews.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Did you get that little throw up that goes in your throat, then it goes back down?
That little acidic part that just comes up from your gut and it's bile and it just sits in your throat and you're like, ugh.
You know the only way to get rid of that, right?
Besides
Captain Obvious, you have to eat a Butterfinger bar.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just know that it wipes out that horrible taste.
Yeah, I'll stick with jizz.
I'll bet you will.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, equal opportunity jizz receptacle. That's what I say. Why be anti-gay, Judo Larry? This homophobia is an ugly side of you that I've never seen before.
You still haven't seen.
Just the taint side is the side I like.
Yeah, baby. I'm going to show that to you during the show.
Yeah, just to see if I can keep my composure?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, also if you can keep your seat.
Well, I want that little stick with the hat that you claim you have that you use to rub your taint, to rub some lotion into your taint.
Well, that's no claim. That's sitting in the top drawer of my bureau. That's claim. You make it sound fake.
Yeah. Yeah, taint lotion, baby. Taint lotion.
The taint, it's all about the taint. Let me tell you.
Well, I know you keep saying that. I tend to think it's all about the cock, but you think it's about the taint. Huh?
Everybody says that. The taint is like the ignition button. You know, it gets everything going in the right way.
The ignition button.
The ignition button,
get
baby.
It going? Yeah. Hey, listen, I know you're a student of the martial arts of the Far East of Japan, hence your title of judo. I realize that you're well versed in those arts.
Yes.
Your family is well versed in those arts. Some of the highest ranking.
Yes.
What Dan, right? Is that the correct leveling for judo? Dan?
Yep.
So I know you come from that tradition. Let me ask you that. Is your love of taint somehow connected to acupuncture?
Yes.
So the mental image of someone sticking needles in your taint is an accurate one?
If you stick the needles in, and then you get those ones with the little smoke coming out of
them. Nice.
That is just the best.
Nice.
That is best.
Do you feel it more in your balls or in your asshole?
Oh, in your asshole. It goes right there. It goes right there.
You should open up a shop or something.
Really, this is a possible business.
Like
venture?
Judo Larry M's personal security and taint massage.
Security and taint.
Why? Hey, you sign me up as a client. As far as I'm concerned, if you got that going for you.
Oh, please, you're a backer trying to get on the ground level, bitch.
Yeah, just you can open up a shop on Madison Avenue. I guarantee you, we'd be rolling in it.
Oh, please.
Yeah, nice.
Rolling in it. Oh.
Oh. All right, Judo Larry. Enough of the hilarity. Let's move on to something serious. Did you see what I'm about to bring up is very disturbing, but the beheading of James Foley by those savage animals, ISIS. Look, we've been through the beheading stuff with Al-Qaeda, not to make it sound trite, but ISIS is now using beheadings to raise money. It's not simply a revenge tool. It's not simply a terror tool in this case. Mm. They're using it to raise money. And if you listen to U.S. intelligence reports and take it for what it's worth, they think that ISIS is even better funded than Al-Qaeda ever was.
Yeah, they are. Because they're getting money now from oil fields that they have control of. They're getting money from kidnappings.
Yeah.
It's frightening. It's amazing. You know, 10 years ago, you would have thought Saddam Hussein and Assad in Syria, a bunch of fucking assholes. Let's get rid of them.
Right.
I got to tell you, like a lot of people, I'm looking back now, and you realize, they were pig dictators, but they sat on a lot of mess and just kept it under control.
They were brutal. let's face it, they were brutal murderers.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, look at the alternative right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's all they understand.
Now, unless you make the argument that like someone like Saddam Hussein, rather, actually fermented this type of savagery, you know, because he was so vicious. But to your point, I'm starting to think he was a brutal dictator that kept people down and
kept them in line.
Yeah, like three quarters probably of the people he kept in line are these asses, ISIS assholes and Al-Qaeda assholes.
Oh, yeah.
And now what you have is like, look, Iraq is a mess. And I'm not, maybe I'm not even willing to put it all on Obama's doorstep. But
well, you can't.
But the truth of the matter is there's savage animals there. Yeah. I don't know if we can find 10 reasonable people in Iraq that are Iraqis, I mean. No.
I don't know if you remember this, but back on our old show, The Council of
Three,
we once talked about like what was really the best formula for it. And I think we discussed this. Look, they got the Sunnis, you got the Shiites, and they got the Kurds. And they should have just given them all their own country.
Yeah, just.
And I actually think that would have just made them happy enough. Because then you get like Maliki in there, and he left out the other guys, who was it, the Sunnis or whatever. And, you know, and just now you just have this massive caliphate ugliness spreading, and they're cutting people's heads. I mean, they're animals.
They're total savages is what it comes down to.
We have just got to start like around-the-clock carpet bombing and just fuck them up.
They're doing some of that, you know. It's not around-the-clock.
It's they not are, enough.
You know, but the thing also that we noticed, now I'll say this again, I do not watch those beheading videos.
Neither do I.
I think it's enough
for me just to hear about it or to see like a still footage where you see like the two people standing next to each other.
But, you know, I've seen one in the past and it left me with nightmares. I mean, it's just horrible. But I will say this. And this was actually made by some other writer. I forget the person's name right now, so I apologize for not giving proper credit. But that person was saying liberals in the U.S. need to watch those videos. It has to become to something real to them. So we don't hear this bullshit about how we have to deal with them diplomatically, and that why are we downgrading Muslims and Islam, and Islam is a religion of peace, and Dean Obadalla thinks we're all giving them a bad thing. See, people like that need to watch those videos.
Right, so they can get
see the horror of it.
No, but you know what? Your first point is absolutely right. This to this day, this still doesn't just seem real to them. They don't think it's a threat.
Yeah.
They're still waiting for like the Nazis to make a comeback. That's right. The only, I'm not kidding, for liberals, that is the only military anything they've ever taken seriously.
Yeah.
The communists were always a joke, and these guys are a joke, and Putin's a joke. And I'm like, no, it's not. These assholes are actually serious. And your point is absolutely right. They need to have something, but it's going to take a lot.
Right.
Because even after 9/11, right here in this city, a couple of years after, you saw every fucking liberal in town, they were past it.
Yeah, they were
over it. They didn't care.
Well, they had already moved on to the conspiracy theories.
Right.
You know, like Bush had done it. You know, Bush had collapsed our own buildings, and pseudoscientists would come out and tell you, like, give you their theory as to why the whole thing was staged and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, I've seen one of those videos. It scarred me for life. And that's real to me. You know what I mean? It's like, I understand. And if you and I were talking about this, we saw a picture in the paper right before the show, you know, the still picture of that ISIS savage about to behead James Foley, who I have to admit looked perfectly like, I mean, you could tell he was scared, but he wasn't like crying or trying to escape. I mean, he showed the ultimate courage in the face of death.
That guy's got balls. Amazing.
He did not give them the satisfaction of crying or begging or anything. And I heard there were reports, and I don't know if they're substantiated or not, that ISIS actually had him crucified before they beheaded him.
Yeah, they did. The two French hostages verified that.
That is like, so you're talking about like savage animals. You're not talking about just even your run-of-the-mill terrorists, if there is such a thing. They're fucking animals. Anyway, we said they basically beheaded him with a Bowie knife. Like, it's not, you know, Jude O'Leary, you had a great line. Go ahead, hit your line. It's not like...
It's not Cardinal Richelieu with the guillotine.
Right.
And, like, slam dunk and it's over.
It's not a painless death.
No, this is a slow, horrible death that goes on. And, I mean, it just must be...
It literally is cutting off your head with a rusty knife. That's what it looked like. I mean, it looked like one of those knives that soldiers, not even a machete, that soldiers keep, you know, their survival knives, like the Rambo knife, if you have that in mind, you know.
And, of course, you notice, which is also kind of scary, you notice who they used for it. The guy had a British accent.
Yeah.
And now they're afraid that, you know, because radicalism
in
London is a problem.
Yeah.
In fact, they call a certain cell of them the Beatles. or like that, because they sound so British.
Right.
And like, that's a little scary too, because, you know, you, between the kidnappings and the Europeans are paying them ransom, and then there are Europeans who are converting,
right,
and they're letting Muslims come into their countries like crazy over them.
Yeah, for anybody that wants open borders.
Talk about the backward approach. They're letting the Muslims move into Europe like crazy. The Europeans don't even care, but yet they're very anti-Semitic and they don't like Jews.
Right.
How do you work that one out?
Well, nobody likes the Jews, Judalarium. That's just something, a fact in history.
Oh, okay.
You know, because they have all the money and they control the media.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes, I know, but considering the Muslims are savages.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. Like, for any, and just to segue back and forth, because as we said, this is a show that has attention deficit disorder, but that's why you don't have open border policies as immigration, right? Look at the UK. The UK is struggling with this because they want to maintain their openness, their quote-unquote fairness to everybody.
Yeah.
And yet, their own country is now being taken over by these Muslim cells. Now, not all of them are like terrorist cells, but they have a real problem because they respect like the sanctity of the mosque. They, you know, they're very either we're like them or they're like us in the sense that they have some sort of Bill of Rights going. So, you know, savage terrorists take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not like they honor it and say, oh, no, well, it's against the law for us to, you know.
Yeah, no, they're using our openness against us.
Absolutely.
And which is scary because they're the most closed-minded, ignorant bastards in the world.
Sure. So now you have, you mentioned that the guy who beheaded James Foley had a British accent, and they think maybe it was someone who was, you know, either educated abroad or who got imported. What about the story of that Australian jihadist who took his young son? Somebody, the kid must have been like 10 or 12, you know, and taught him how to behead people, taught the 10-year-old how to behead people, and there was a picture and a video of the kid holding up a human head that had been severed.
Jesus Christ.
Meaning, like, I don't think the kid severed it, but I think someone else chopped it off his hair. Play with this, you know, and they took a picture. The father was standing there proud of his 10-year-old with a chopped off head in his hand. And you look at that and you're saying, like, you think there's room for negotiation with these fucking savages? There's no negotation with these savages.
You just have to kill them.
And for the people that thought that Dana Perino, I think that's her name, was it Dana Perino? On Fox, who said, Tentaros?
It was Tentaros.
Yeah, who said the only way you negotiate with these people is with a bullet to the head, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, liberals. Sorry, MSNBC. Sorry, Chris Hayes and who's the other guy?
HuffPo made fun of it.
Yeah, and who's the other asshole?
Schultz?
Matthews. Matthews. Chris Matthews, who screams a lot.
Lawrence O'Donnell.
And Lawrence O'Donnell, who think that, oh, wow, look at those right-wing nuts. They're intolerant and this and that. Open your eyes and smell the coffee, stupid.
Yeah, there's no
negotiating with these people. What are you going to give them? They want one world religion. They want one world caliphate. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no like, okay, we'll give you this little piece of sand in the desert and they're going to be happy with it.
They're singular in purpose. And it's scary because, as we were talking about before, there was reported today, ISIS alone is $2 billion.
Horrible.
And they were mostly formed out of the fact that they think Al-Qaeda are a bunch of pussies.
Exactly. That, like, Al-Qaeda is too soft.
What does that tell you?
And then you see things of them, like, rounding up women and selling them.
Also, what, a week or two ago, they were beheading children.
And beheading children.
How the fuck do you do things like this? What kind of animal are you?
Yeah, so anybody who's looking, and it boggles my mind that anyone in the West, other than Dino Badal or whoever, can find any point of sympathy with these people. Any sort of empathy with these people. They're fucking animals. Even if you're the most diehard, nonviolent Muslim, what do you find potentially to be salvageable in these people? What?
Right.
Do you think they're acting this way because of Israel?
No.
No, it's their own ideology that's driving them to, like, someone.
Even if you accept the argument that gets pushed out, well, this really isn't Islam and they're perverting it. All right, but you know what? It's still faith based. It's still,
right,
they're still saying, well, this is based on our religion. This is how we interpret it, and we want this extreme Sharia law.
Right.
And I, you know, look, I know it's ugly and stupid, but, and you can blame Bush for kind of you know, getting rid of Hussein and the Taliban, and like kind of opening the wound here and just letting all the freaks right. out of the crazy house. But the fact is, you're simply going to, and I know Obama does not want to do this. He just wants to get out of there and leave it alone.
Right.
But you're just simply going to be put to the bother of having to kill them. That's yeah. all the and bombing them and hammering them and trying to freeze their assets.
Yeah, and the other thing that people don't realize is this isn't a new phenomenon. You know what I mean? It's just that now there's different implementations of this terror. But like this branch of Muslims, these type of, have been around for thousands of years. You know, it's not yeah. like, you know, the Ottoman Empire was not known for its kindness. You know, like you could say the British Empire, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire and stuff like that.
Thank God.
But the British Empire was not one of savagery.
No, not at all.
Do you know
all.
What I mean?
Not at all.
Like I always joke, like only under the British rule could someone like Gandhi have right. survived.
Yes. You know, no, like, I've said that a million times. I said, you know what the difference between Gandhi and like and right. that he fought against the British? I said, look, the first day that he had a protest, any other empire, even ours, like he would have been killed.
Right.
He would have been shot or us, and you would right. never have heard of him.
Right.
But it's only because of the way they are, their decency. He was allowed to go on and go on. And like, I understand the Brits weren't totally, they beat some of them.
Right.
But they were like, Roy, like, all right, you're going to protest, you little monkey. Like, you know, like, you know, but it's.
But the truth is, right. Gandhi in any other regime would have been executed.
He would have been killed, like, right, right. away. You think the Nazis would have right. let him live?
Like, yeah. or better yet, do you think ISIS would let him live? Do you
no,
think,
not,
like,
not
fucking Al Qaeda would let him live? You know, so you have to understand, you're not, and again, liberals seem to be incapable of comprehending this. Because you as a liberal cannot fathom a situation where diplomacy wouldn't work for you as a liberal, that someone couldn't come and negotiate a peace with you as a liberal, doesn't mean that the rest of the world shares your viewpoint.
But it's also a matter of that they're not afraid. They don't feel personally afraid, so therefore they don't take the threat seriously.
Right.
They don't realize that once these guys get bigger and they get more money, they can actually start pulling off attacks here and then or anywhere else for that matter.
They could do it now.
Exactly, but they don't feel the threat like walking down the street. I know this because I talked to them. They don't care. They're going about their business,
right.
and you know they're not afraid of them like coming over here and doing anything. And that's a problem because yeah. these assholes are serious.
Yeah, it's like you ask a liberal, like, well, do you support the beheadings? Do you support the beheading of children? Do you support the enslavement of women? Do you support chopping the clitorises off women? No, that's horrible. Let's get Amnesty International in there. What's Amnesty International going to do with ISIS?
Well, but there's part of the problem also what we were just talking about with Foley. This British guy that if he is, that they're looking for, they want to arrest him. They want to arrest him and charge him. I was like, you want to arrest him and charge him? This is a war.
I have to tell you, in the midst of this tragedy, as sad as it was and as close, you know, that it made me feel, you know, horrible, the fact that Eric Holder felt the need to issue like a warrant and to say that we're opening a criminal investigation into this is laughable. What the fuck are you doing? You think you're going to get him into court?
I know, but you know what the problem is? They're treating it like they're dealing with like the mafia or a drug cartel. Like, well, we'll just arrest you and
right.
bring you into court. Killing an American like that, cutting the hair, is a war crime. This is a war.
Especially overseas.
Yeah, this isn't funny.
Right, and this guy's not an American citizen that beheaded him. I'll never stop saying this. People in other countries are not subject or entitled to our system of justice.
Constitutional protections.
Or our constitutional protections. So as far as that fucking British limey ISIS savage goes, fuck him. He has no rights. Now,
right.
if you want to capture him and torture him for information, fair enough, you know.
Right.
If that's your goal. But if your goal is you think you're going to put him on trial and somehow shame ISIS into like stopping this shit, or, oh shit, they're onto us. This is not a Sopranos episode. They're not going to lay low just because you convict someone if you ever got your hands on them.
Right. And if we don't aggressively go after them, they're going to read that as weakness. And they're just going to do more shit, and they're going to attack more and try to take over more.
What do you mean if? They already have it as a weakness. Like I've said this before. Oh, now forget what I've said before. Did you see where Joe Scarborough claimed that Obama playing golf immediately after having a press conference to talk about the beheading? Joe Scarborough thinks that it makes us look actually stronger to the Muslim savages because it means that Obama isn't worried and that he doesn't care. I'm like,
That is the stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah, you're giving both the Savages and Joe Scarborough a lot of credit if you think that's true.
Right, and Scarborough's a particular douchebag because he's allegedly a Republican.
Yeah, he's nothing.
He's such a fucking idiot. He sits there and he sits there with all those liberals and they just bash Republicans. It's just like every show is, like Matthews, O'Donnell, Rachel Maddow. It's the stupidest Republican bashing.
And
it's
even worse, he just lets that dopey cunt Mika Brzezinski like just destroy everything. Even on the off chance where a decent discussion is going, she has to flap her gums and
she's just stupid
and just shriek some shit to bring everything to a halt.
I've seen the show. It's just pathetic. Like sometimes they'll actually be talking about they'll have some guest on or someone who's reasonably intelligent saying something, and you see her like she'll squint her eyes a little, like she thinks she's looking like sophisticated or pondering what they're thinking about. I don't know how the fuck she got that job, but
it's because of her father, probably because of him being Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I don't know.
But look, that whole show is fucked. But anyway, do you really think there's Muslims out there who look at Obama and feel threatened?
No, they realize he's a Muslim from Kenya.
But, you know, Obama has, you know, and listen, before you liberals start crowing about he got Bin Laden, man. He caught Bin Laden. Bush never caught Bin Laden. So he's tough. He's tough on the terrorists, man. No, he's not tough on the terrorists. First of all, we all know Bin Laden fell into his lap. And
wait a minute. The problem with that is he's going to wind up getting the credit for it. But what annoys me the most about it is, you know, he didn't get Bin Laden. The CIA got Bin Laden.
Right.
In fact, that chick who they made the movie about got Bin Laden.
Right.
That's number one. And then what's really annoying about that is, if you remember when Obama first got into office, him, Holder, and Pelosi wanted to prosecute people in the CIA. Remember that?
right.
That was the
first... For torture and stuff, right?
Yeah, that was the first couple of months of his first term. And then the last seven directors of the CIA, both served under Democrats and Republicans, sent him that letter where they all signed and said, please don't do this.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. You're ruining, you don't realize the damage you're doing. And they backed off. And I always remember this. And then Nancy Pelosi took a trip to Asia for a month.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Asia for a month just to get away from all the press and everything, and she was hoping to hide out.
Yeah.
So first off, you have this asshole who actually doesn't like the CIA and their mission and what they do for this country.
Right.
Then it turns out that they're the ones who found the courier, who connected it to Bin Laden hiding in Pakistan, and they were able to call in.
If you believe the reports, it was actually Biden that had to talk Obama into it.
Yes.
You know, I absolutely believe that. I don't know that for certainty, but if the reports are true, and I think it kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I don't think Obama would
that Biden was the one to do it. But anyway, my point here is, I keep saying this, and liberals keep saying it, it's like, what's the image that Obama projects? First of all, he shows up to these press conferences in the White House, not wearing a tie, not looking presidential at all. Just from a PR, I understand presidents have stressful jobs, super stressful. They need to take frequent vacations. And yes, Bush took vacations, Reagan took vacations, Nixon took vacations. I get it. He's not the only one to take vacations. But do you think there's a little bit of timing involved here, if for no other reason than PR purposes?
Right.
You just gave a presser where you're talking about the beheading of an American citizen by a savage fucking Muslim terrorist in one of the most savage ways imaginable, and what is it, half an hour after you get done, there's pictures of you laughing and playing golf?
Yeah.
The fuck? You couldn't put it off for a couple hours?
You know what it is? You know what's really working against
him? By the way, I'm sorry, this has been going on for weeks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the beheading. It was the ISIS bombing, the Michael Brown situation. He did not want to leave that fucking golf course.
Yeah.
And if you look at the timeline of the riot on Twitter.com/thatriotshow, you'll see that we made fun of him prior to the beheading, where we said, he spoke about Ferguson for 10 minutes, felt faint, and the Secret Service had to, recuse him to the golf course immediately, because that's what it looked like. And then after the beheading, it was the same fucking thing.
And even before all this, they were then they had the pictures of him dancing in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I'm not slamming him on the vacation stuff.
Right.
There's two things for one reason. Number one, even up to this point of his administration, he's actually taken a lot less vacation than Bush.
True.
Or Clinton or Reagan or Bush Sr. I've actually seen the numbers. He's actually taken the least amount of all the most recent presidents. But the problem with this is there's so many fucked up things going on. This is not the time to be seen goofing off on the golf course. It's a better time politically to be seen like at the White House, right. Like you're on top of your job.
Well, here's,
I mean, if things were a little slow, like for instance, if you remember just a few years ago, the biggest thing in the news for a couple of weeks there was whether we were going to raise the debt ceiling. You know what? That's, you know,
Take a vacation. Go
play fucking golf.
Yeah.
But with ISIS going on, with the kidnappings going on,
well, that's
with all those people at the border, which now is completely out of the news.
Right.
All those people came from the Central American and South American countries who flooded into this country.
Immigration reform is off the radar.
Yeah, it just, you know. That's off the radar with the debt out of control, with the economy doing nothing, but with between the ISIS and the beheadings.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's also the thing. Your point is well taken. Like, in terms of number of days, he's taken less vacation than those other presidents you mentioned. Fair enough. But you know what? It doesn't tell you when he's taken those vacations. So, to your point, he's taken fewer days, but they always seem to be around when there's something big in the news.
Exactly.
Like, so whether it's Benghazi, whether it's the IRS problems, right. whether it's the beheading, ISIS, Michael Brown, it's like, hey, there's something really horrible going on right now. Where's the president to say a few words? He's on the golf course.
And somebody
he's
obviously...
He's fundraising. That's the other thing.
Yes.
The other thing is, if he's not vacationing, which I believe that he's taken fewer technical vacation days, like, even then... he spends a lot of time fundraising, which is not technically a vacation. You know, he's working. He's raising. So it was, I believe.
But it's just the way it looks.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's just the way it looks. There's no doubt he's taking less days. But the point is, when something big is going on, when people are really worried and they're concerned about shit going on, that's not the time to be seen goofing off. And for some reason, somebody, if it's not him, somebody's telling him, this is the moment to look calm and comfortable and out there with your shirt open and playing golf. I mean, this isn't a deodorant commercial.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to look cool.
I don't think anyone's telling him that, to be honest with you. I think it's just
really? It's just him?
Well, listen.
They have too many handlers and people work around them. If the staff and his wife really said, look, this is not the time to go, it's a shitty idea, I don't know that he would do it. But my problem with him is you could be right about it being from him. He's a little too eager to do all these things. Like, even when Mandela died, he couldn't wait to go over there and be at the funeral and hobnob with all those fucking
Send
idiots.
Biden. Well, he's believing his own hype. He's the first African-American president, so he gets a lot of leeway because of that. But if you think about it, look at him. Like, he's always been aloof. Like, he doesn't view himself as a details guy. He doesn't view himself as an operations guy. He views himself as a
big
idea guy. And you know what? Fine. Reagan was that way, too. You know what I mean? Like, Reagan didn't focus on details as much as he did the big picture, right? And he said, I have an administration to do that. But you know what? When our barracks in Libya got attacked, Reagan didn't go horseback riding.
He didn't go to the ranch.
Right. He didn't go to the ranch. Same goes for Clinton. You know, don't think that this is a Republican thing that I'm defending. I don't remember Clinton taking vacation as fucking problems in the Middle East came up.
That's exactly it. He took them when it was okay. But if something fucked up was going on, he was around the White House.
Yeah.
He was around doing his job.
Well, the Clinton administration knew how to get ahead of a problem. I mean, from a PR perspective, Obama doesn't know how to get ahead of anything. I'm convinced part of it is his personality.
Yes.
He wants to
lay back and
observe
everything and watch it peter out a little bit and then see if he can make like the smart move. And he better fucking wake up. Like, you know, all right, now we're bombing these ISIS assholes. ISIL. Yeah, let me tell you something. You need to triple those and really just start pulverizing them.
Yeah.
And break their grip on what is spreading between Syria and Iraq. And, you know, the only thing we got going for us now is the Saudis are all in on fighting with them.
Right.
You know, because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you how much the Saudis were helping us kill terrorists in Yemen.
Right.
I saw that show where they found all kinds of U.S. bombs and shells
at the U.S. Air Force
that were shot from Saudi planes. So, I mean, the Saudis are fucking assholes, but they're helping us here.
Yeah.
So right now there are assholes.
Yeah. See, I think people don't realize, and it's also one of the reasons why we are and should be such strong allies of Israel. In that part of the world, it's always the lesser of two evils. You're never going to have the choice that's black and white, good and bad, for the country, meaning for us. It's always the lesser of two evils. And, like, the perfect example is what we were talking about earlier, which was, yeah, Saddam Hussein was a vicious fucking dictator, but guess what? He kept order in that country.
Yeah.
And now you look at it, And it's nothing but one terrorist asshole after another.
Yeah, the bath party really cracked down on just right? everyone.
So was it two bad options there? Absolutely. But the lesser of two evils, it appears right now, was Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Right? And I think any nation in that area, you're always, as a U.S. foreign policy, someone who dictates U.S. foreign policy, you're always dealing with the lesser of two evils. Israel is the only nation over there that even approaches our belief system, our value system.
Right.
So that's one reason why we're always, like right now, you have to get Assad to help you out.
Yeah.
And that guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's a piece of right? shit.
Even Saudi Arabia, you know, you don't hear too much about them. Compared to the U.S., we would view them as a very repressive society.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
A lot of the Sharia law assholes live there.
Yeah.
that's a big breeding ground.
Talk about your repressiveness. You know, Saudi Arabia is famous for that whole thing where women can't smile, they can't joke, they can't openly sing.
They can't drive cars and they can't own land.
Right. And they have even something called the morality police. I was just reading about it.
Oh, yeah. That's not new.
And they just had a crackdown because apparently the morality police have been shaking people down.
You know what the other thing is, which I saw, they have this in Iran too. They have the morality police, but they've had incidents where the people have gotten fed up with them have actually attacked the morality.
Right,
police.
Right. There's a lot because of the kickbacks and shit like that. Yeah,
good for you.
But I mean, so think about it, stupid liberals in this country. You know, when you start screaming, "Oh, the morality police, the silent majority, or you know, the moral majority," and blah, 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 it's like, no, stupid, like. Picture a country where you're sitting in your home or you're in your own coffee shop that you own, your own business, and someone comes by and gives you a ticket or arrests you for smiling too much, literally, or for encouraging a woman to voice a political opinion.
Well, how about this?
You know,
women, when they're wearing that habib or whatever the fuck that stupid thing is,
yep.
when they're wearing it, their bangs or their hair cannot show.
Hot.
So they have to push them underneath or they can get like arrested.
Of course. Why would you want to have cunts running around Judolarium?
I'm going to start calling you big fat Muslim.
Keep them bitches in line.
No, don't keep them in line. Let them be free. Oh, I forgot.
What's that?
The Muslim asshole who thinks that they're causing earthquakes. What a bunch of backward, ignorant fucks. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that line
we saw
that on the internet before the show. There was that poster that said, "In civilized countries, we think people who say
that they're good,
God
they're
tells gonna, them to kill. You know, we think they're insane.
Right.
In Muslim countries, they're just called Muslims.
They're just called Muslims.
Yeah, which is kind of true, you know. So, you know, there's no moral equivalency here, folks. There's no moral equivalency that says, well, it's okay for these Muslims to act this way because we've got fundamentalist Christians running around. No, you know what fundamentalist Christians do all day? They lock themselves in sweaty churches. They dance around. They scream. They speak in tongues. And they toss a couple of snakes at each other.
I was going to say, they dance around with snakes and go, Halashanga, and like every once in a while, they'll take a moment out to say how homosexuality is like ruining your anal cavity. And then they go home. They're not going to kill anyone. Right. They're not going to hurt anyone. Like, for instance, remember when the South Park guys, how many times have they had Jesus on as a cartoon? Yeah.
No beheading.
Totally ridiculous. Not attacked, nothing.
Right.
They had that one time they mentioned they might draw like a cartoon of Allah. Some idiot had to be turned away at security.
Of Muhammad.
But some guy showed up and like, well, actually was going to like harm them.
And Comedy Central was so afraid of that they actually pulled the episode. They did not show the cartoon where they were goofing on Muhammad. So the point there is, folks, listen. Here, you may have some ignorant backwoods assholes who talk too much about Jesus and hate homosexuals and stuff like that. It's not beheadings. It's not, and contrary to liberal belief, it's not like two abortion clinics a week being blown up by fundamentalist Christians. I think there's been like four in the last 40 years.
Fundamentalist Christians aren't holding down your 9-year-old girl and cutting off their clitoris so they won't be promiscuous.
Exactly.
These assholes are doing that.
Right.
They're not cutting off people's heads. They're not teaching it to their children.
So there is no moral equivalency here. Really,
isn't. This is an extreme.
It's nonsense, okay? So for any liberal that says, you know, because that's probably the first retort from a liberal when they hear us calling, saying Muslim savages, you know, yeah, shit like that. Their first response is, it goes, what about fundamentalist Christians?
Yeah.
Aren't they just as bad? No.
No, that's not even the same ballpark.
And Larry is, as you said a lot of times, is not a Christian. Larry here is an atheist, agnostic, whatever. Right. He has no particular love for Catholics or the
any religion.
Any religion. Okay. But anyone who has a pair of eyes and half a brain can see that you cannot compare Christians, either even the fundamentalist, close-minded, racist Christians in the U.S. or the U.K. with these fucking savages.
Yeah.
There's no equivalency.
A few months ago, I don't know if you remember this, but Obama referred to ISIS as the junior varsity. He made some comment like that. I was watching it being covered on the news
fucking
the other day.
Dick.
Now, here's the thing, though. Let me tell you something. In the world of kooky religious guys, the fundamentalist Christians are the junior varsity.
Yeah, word.
These assholes in the Middle East, these are the heavyweight champions of moronic stupidity.
They're the Hulk Hogan's.
They are. They are the Bruno Sammartino of insanity.
Whereas the fundamentalist Christians are like the Barry Horowitz or Johnny Canines.
Yeah.
Or the Mulkey brothers. Remember them, the Mulkey Mania?
They're like the Moondogs.
Yeah, look, you just can't compare the two. And I wish, like, liberal commentators in this country would just stop. First of all, you're displaying your ignorance. You really are, you know. And look, you know, so they're anti-gay. They don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple getting married.
Right.
You're drawing that equivalency to chopping off
right. The
heads of eight-year-olds?
Yeah. They don't think a woman should be allowed to have an abortion. Okay.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with
chopping clits off?
Chopping clits off. And if you notice, here's the other thing that's really a difference. Have you noticed that in a large part of the Muslim world, their solution to everything is violence?
Yes.
There's like almost, yeah, like even that one we talked a few weeks about, the guy who was stealing or something, they cut his hand off.
Nice.
And everything that they do, it just involves violence.
Right.
There's no solution to anything
right.
except that. And it shows you how fucking stupid they are. Like, right. For instance, I was watching some footage a few weeks ago, and you see these guys in Palestine throwing rocks, throwing shit. And the Israelis are standing there looking at them.
Yes, sir.
And I remember saying to myself, this has been going on for as long as I can remember. It's just different people throwing different rocks.
Like, testify.
They don't realize that the constant violence, I mean, it's accomplished nothing. It is accomplished. Absolutely. Israel's still there. It's not going anywhere. They're not going to Alaska like that other Tal had wanted them to do. I mean, they're not going anywhere. John is having a very spiritual religious moment, which I don't get because I'm an agnostic. So.
Yes,
let me tell you, if I thought the Christians in this country, like especially in the Deep South, if I thought that they were as bad as the Muslim world, let me tell you something. I'm not playing favorites because I don't care. I don't have a horse in this race.
Right.
It's just so clear.
Yeah.
That they're not. Like, the Christian fundamentalists and these people, they're like fucking AAA baseball. Yeah. I mean, they're not the major leagues.
Yeah. It's night and day. So, you know, that excuse needs to go out the window. The only thing that I think is reasonable for us to say is it our fight? Should we be involved in this? And I think the answer is yes, for one reason. Like, even as someone who is becoming more and more isolationist in my foreign policy views as I get older, right? The one thing I will say is, that if I thought for a second that this savagery would be contained within the borders of their own nation, I would say, let them fucking kill themselves.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a shit.
If you thought they were just going to stay over there.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's like the way I approach mafia crime here. By and large, if the mafia kills each other off, I don't care. It's like, let them do whatever they want to do, as long as they leave the rest of us alone, right?
Right.
Like, so the thing over there is, it's not like ISIS wants Iraq. Do you know what I mean? It's not like their end goal is, we're stopping at the borders of Iraq and we're done. Now we own Iraq. We can run shit the way we want. We can chop off all the clits we want. We can live in as much ignorance as we want. That's not the case, Larry.
No, not at all.
They're just going to create their stronghold. Then the next thing will be Israel. Then it'll be Iran. Then it'll be, you know, Syria.
Yeah,
then Lebanon.
They're going to broaden out their range because they want to dominate everyone.
Yeah,
and kill all those filthy infidels.
Right, and unlike the caliphate from 3,000 years ago, whatever the fuck Ezra Klein is trying to tell me they're trying to emulate, we have things like airplanes now. In 8 hours, they're in New York.
Right.
13 hours, they're in L.A.
And you think with $2 billion in finance, you think they can pull off some stuff?
You think they could hire their own charter plane filled with bombs and just fly it into something? Come on, wake up, stupid. They're not going to keep to themselves. You can't appease them. Didn't we learn from Neville Chamberlain and Hitler? You can't appease fucking genocidal assholes.
Yeah, because they're not satisfied just sitting on their little fiefdom.
Exactly.
Which is bad enough for the people who have to live there.
Right.
But, I mean, like, for instance, when I see these things spreading and they're taking over, I'm like, I actually feel very, very bad for the women and the children. Because they have no say, they got nothing, and they just have to put up with these fucking assholes.
Right.
So start the cop at bottom,
and,
all right?
And you know how we always say, like, women and children first? And, you know, there's even that Seinfeld episode where Costanza, you know, there's a fire in the apartment and he throws all the old ladies and the kids, the, you know, the 8-year-olds out of the way so he could be the first one out.
Right.
The reason that's so funny is because inherently, as Westerners, as Americans, inherently, I think all of us know that you do the opposite.
Right.
That civilized people do the opposite. That you let the children out first, then you let the women out, then the men go out. You let the old people, right?
Yeah.
It's like that's why that scene is so funny. Like over there, there's no human life. There's no such thing as women and children first, unless they're talking about clit choppings and beheadings. Apparently,
right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's for any civilized person in the West to have any sort of connection to that, you have to be a psychopath.
Yeah, you have to be gone.
Fucked up, you know. So, like,
even if you're sitting around saying, you know, I think the Western world is terrible. I think it's decadent. It has
look at all the shit we've done to them.
It has so many problems. Let me tell you something. What these guys stand for is just wrong. It's just everything is just ignorant and wrong. They represent to me the human mind at its like lowest possible level of function.
Right. Yeah, and it really is a situation where, you know, I don't understand what it is they're trying to accomplish other than what their religion tells them, that non-Muslim nations must fall to the sword, that they have to convert everybody. I don't understand why anyone would think diplomacy is the answer. You know, it's like those, like in medieval times when you would read in books about the prayers people would have about going to sleep and hoping that, like, the Viking horde wouldn't run over them the next day or something like that. You know, it's like you can't negotiate with Muslim terrorists.
The only thing with that is I don't see a lot of diplomacy anyway. I mean, my concern with it is that they're treating it as a criminal justice matter instead of a war. And it is a war.
That is disturbing on our part.
It's war. This is warfare. They're killing people. And let me tell you something. And I hate to put the whammy on this poor guy. I understand they have another journalist. And how soon do they...
I think they have two more.
How soon do you think it's going to be before they kill these poor people?
Yeah, it's... You know, I understand that you don't negotiate with terrorists. I get that. I understand the logic behind it. And to your point... It seems like Europe is just... The reason ISIS is so wealthy is, like, Europe gives into this shit. Mm. Like, who did you say has paid them the most? France?
Yeah, France.
You know, that every time they ask for 100 million euros to free, like, a French journalist, the French can't wait to wire them the money.
Yeah, they send them the money.
Okay.
And they're denying that they're doing it.
Right, because they're pussies. We get it. Okay? But the point is now... Do you think you've appeased them with that 100 million? I hate to say it, but like, because it makes it sound like we don't care about human life either, right? That we're saying, like, you know, obviously if it was my brother, my sister, my wife, my son, my friend.
Yeah, you'd be devastated.
You'd be like devastated and you'd be like, pay it, pay it, pay it. But when you look at the big picture, you can't pay. Look, we were bitching about a Bo Bergdahl and that fact that we traded five, you know, leaders of the terrorist movement to get back a sergeant. What do you think? We said it at the time. What do you think the message is there? The message is the U.S. is willing to pay ransom is what it comes down to.
Right.
If you notice, nobody pulls this shit off with the Russians. Because the Russians have an official policy. Every citizen is the equivalent of a soldier. You get captured, you're on your own.
Right.
And they that's their official government policy. And if you notice... Nobody nabs anybody that Putin has to pay a ransom for. Nobody.
Yeah.
Right? Because
they have a lot of problem with the Chechens over there.
Yeah, no, that's a different story. But I'm saying, like, as a government, nobody captures Russian citizens. Nobody takes Russian citizens hostage and threatens to behead them.
Right.
Right? And I'm sure it's not like the Muslims love the Russians any more than they love us.
No, but they are viewed differently, though. They're not considered part of the West.
They're not part of the West. But nobody's holding them up for ransom either, is what I'm saying.
No, not at all.
Okay? But anyway, so my point here is, yes, the U.S. has to get fucking on the ball with these guys. I'm not necessarily saying we need boots on the ground or some sort of surge. You know, I'm not a military guy, so I don't know.
The only problem is I've been watching some of the military guys, mostly on Fox, and they've been saying, we can pummel them with the air power, but it's not enough. At some point, you got to get like special operators, or you got to get people on the ground who can clean up and get in there and like kill some of these assholes. Like, which is too bad because I if we could just prosecute this just by bombings, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind the boots on the ground if we had clear objectives, which we never seem to do since Vietnam. You know, it's not just Obama or Bush or Clinton. It's like since Vietnam, I don't think we've had clear objectives to say we're going to go in, we're going to do ABC, and then we get the fuck out. You know, it never seems to work like that, Judalarium. Right. Yeah, it's like you go there, you do ABC, and then, D came up, E came up, F came up, you know, and you have to stay there to finish something else off. And that's the objection I have. It's like, I don't think we could, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But, I mean, certainly there are U.S. interests at stake. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a philosophical battle we're waging.
No, not at all. This is either we deal with them now or we're going to deal with them later. And later, I think it's going to be a higher cost and a higher price, and it's going to be a lot uglier and more fucked up.
Right.
And I mean, you know, and again, you know, this is no different than Al Qaeda. You know, and if they left them because they thought they were the old guy, I mean, you know, that's, you know, and it's a little scary for us because we live in the city that's always
target
number one. So.
And here's the thing: I don't think too much of Chuck Hagel. But when he came out the other day on TV and said, you know, we're kind of expecting one of these guys from ISIS to show up at a mall somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's overreacting.
Look, there's already a guy, he's an American citizen, and his name was Ali. I forgot the rest of his name. He looks like an African American, but he's a Muslim. He just killed like nationwide. He just killed like three or four people.
Oh, really?
They get back at the United States for their bombings. I mean, it's barely being even covered on the news. He just killed four people.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's coming, folks. You know, whether you want to believe it or not, or you think Larry and I are being over the top. Right wingers,
alarmist
merchants of fear and hatred and discrimination and racism. Go fuck yourselves! Like you need to open your eyes and you need to demand that your government do something about this.
And after the beginning of this show where we talked about my taint, how could you think those things?
Exactly, a man who takes care of his taint is in tune with the world.
That's right, just like Michael Brown.
Nice.
Oh, that was rude.
Ooh, who?
Michael Brown.
Oh, Brown.
Brown?
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 Ferguson?
Like my brown eye?
Oh, brown eye starfish.
I know you're very happy that Eric Holder went to Ferguson.
That could be one of the most idiotic things I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. And he's only making things worse.
And people are saying, look at the leadership of the Democratic Party. They sent Eric Holder there. I'm like, ugh.
You know what that's like? That's like when they had the earthquakes or whatever, or the riots out in L.A., and then the Bush people sent quail. And the people are like, who the fuck are you? Yeah.
Who's this white bread?
Yeah.
Listen, you and I were talking about this. I know we disagree. From the latest stuff I've seen in Ferguson, the autopsy reports, a lot, and not just the eyewitness account of the guy who was with Michael Brown, who was clearly a criminal. You know, it's like aiding and abetting.
Yeah, he has a lot of credibility.
But I mean, like, people leaning out of their windows at the time this happened, it really does seem like this cop overreacted. And by overreacted, I mean shot him and killed him.
Well, let's get something short. We don't disagree at this point. I just want more facts, and I want the investigatory process to be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not a rush to judgment person, and everybody's just too angry and upset and pissed off. And, you know, I don't do that. You know, my security gig has taught me you let things play out, you let an investigation play out, and you look into things.
Right, right.
And, I mean, as far as Eric Holder there, he's a fucking idiot.
Yes.
I saw him already on the news the other day, we stand with the people of Ferguson. Why don't you stand with the police?
Right.
You know, and all these people yelling, we need justice for Michael Brown. No, you don't. Because you know what the problem with that statement is? And let me tell you something. Yeah, that means you've already made up your mind.
Yeah, you assume the guy is guilty.
You assume that the cop is wrong and you need justice for Michael Brown. And if this ever goes to trial and the police officer is found not guilty, you're going to freak out.
Well, here's
that's irresponsible.
Well, here's the thing. What these protesters, rioters, looters, whatever, failed to recognize now is if this cop gets indicted, you can't have the trial in Ferguson. You're going to have to move it.
What kind of jury pool are you going to get there?
Exactly. So you can't have an unbiased jury pool anymore. So by your own actions, you are guaranteeing that another community, not your community, another community is going to get to try this officer.
Now, of course, where are you going to bring it where nobody's heard of it?
Yeah, and you're going to end up bitching that he got either convicted or exonerated by a community that didn't go through this trouble.
Well, they have a grand jury right now. And I heard on the news last night, it's comprised of 6 white guys, 3 white women, 2 black guys, and 1 black woman.
Yeah, see, that's...
already problematical because a lot of people are not going to be happy that 9 out of 12 are white.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
I'm happy.
From what I can tell right now, and again, this is just me reading the news stories, reading the autopsy reports and everything, I think this cop overreacted and probably should be indicted.
I think from what I've seen so far right now, he was attacked by Michael Brown, and I think that there's more to it.
Yeah, I think he was clearly
I don't know that he overreacted.
So. Okay, so like I said...
He might have.
Yeah,
he might have.
We're looking at this again from what we could tell. There's obviously stuff that we haven't been told, we haven't been shown, but from what I could tell, right? Just like here in New York, there's a day of protest tomorrow for that Eric, what was his name? Eric Green, I think.
Yeah.
The guy who was killed.
Strangled out in the Staten Island.
Right, because of the chokehold by 4 cops, basically, because he was a big guy. It took 4 cops to get him down.
Yeah.
All right, here in New York, they've managed to keep a lid on it. Like, there hasn't been violent protests. There hasn't been anything like that.
Well, there's been a little. There was, but not related to Staten Island.
Right.
I just wanted to point that out.
But, I mean,
out.
It wasn't violent, right? There was no...
No, there was. There was some violence about Michael Brown. There was a protest and rally for him in the East Village.
Right.
And there were some fights with the cops, and there was some trouble.
Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, it wasn't...
No.
But for the most part, they kept the lid on it. But I think here in New York, they're going to indict that cop who put the guy in a chokehold. I think they will.
Okay.
Because it was already ruled a homicide by the ME. You know, it wasn't ruled an accidental death. It was ruled a homicide. So I think that guy's going to get indicted. Now, is he going to get indicted for murder? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to see jail time for murder. You know, it might be reckless endangerment, manslaughter, you know, whatever those legal distinctions are. But I don't think...
Littering.
Yeah, because All right, look.
Hey.
You know, if you're funny, you're funny. What can I say? That was a good one. Okay.
I didn't throw that.
But see, in Ferguson now, I think you come away with no indictment even. You have a lot of trouble. You have a lot of trouble in St.
That's
Louis.
Nice.
Yeah. And, but I will say one thing, and this is one thing that I found hilarious because MSNBC jumped on it like it was the most important point in the whole issue, that a state cop, what's his name, Captain Johnson?
John, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
He was taking pictures with other black guys in the area, flashing what appeared to be some sort of hand signs, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people assumed, and like I have to say, the crackers that went on Twitter and Facebook to say this, you really are stupid fucking crackers. I have to say that, okay? Like, I'm sorry. When, you know, sometimes these militant black guys are right. You are dumb fucking crackers. Why would the captain of the state police be taking pictures allegedly throwing gang signs on film? You fucking idiots. Like, it turns out that he was throwing like fraternity signs with people that he went to college with. So like and then you find out like the guys in the pictures that he's throwing the
but they don't know that.
What am I doing, Judele?
You're doing the filthy air quotes.
The gang signs with quotes turned out to be like a science teacher, a math teacher, like a professor of chemistry. You know what I mean? So you don't
all those hicks know is black guy puts fingers near his chest and like, oh my god, he's a Crip or a Blood. That's all. Exactly. No, they don't know anything else.
Of course. So you have these ignorant crackers saying all that shit. And I can't emphasize enough that they're ignorant fucking crackers. Probably the same ones that are, like, want creationism taught in public schools. And of course, now, you and I can sit here and laugh, right? Ignorant fucking crackers, right? Like, and we admit it and we laugh to it. And it wasn't even, I think, black guys that went out and started yelling at them. They just said, hey, stupid fucks. It's like they're fraternity signs. The Rachel Maddows of the world, the Lawrence O'Donnells, the who's that fat guy? Ed, what's his name?
Ed Schultz.
They acted like this was the equivalent of turning fire hoses on people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a matter of just ignorance, you know? It was just like, how dare they? You think you're smart? Well, here's something for you to know. These were not gangs. It's like, listen, again, who in their right mind thinks that that a state police captain is flashing gang signs? Like, even if he were part of the Cribs, you fucking idiots, why would he do it on film? It's like, you fucking cracker moronic, like, embarrassing everybody in the white race assholes. It's like,
except for shooting.
Except for shooting. Okay. You dumb motherfuckers. Like, you ignorant.
You ignorant.
All of you should be in the Creationist Museum down in, where the fuck is it, Larry?
Kentucky. Come on. Don't act like you don't know. Don't act like you don't have pictures in your home.
Saddle up the Tyrannosaurus Rex and head down to Kentucky.
That's actually the best part of that Bill Maher movie. He went there, Bill Maher, and they had the saddle on a Triceratops. And they pointed an arrow, like a la M Comics. Yeah. He had an arrow and it says, is that a saddle?
You ignorant fucking morons. And I can't emphasize this enough. And unfortunately for us, they're always located in the South.
Yes. Where Jesus is very popular.
I guess Jesus likes warm, humid weather because that's apparently where he likes to vacation a lot in the U.S.
And every form of firearm.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's the burden if you're white and conservative or white and libertarian, is you get those idiots thrown in your face every fucking time.
You know what? That is true, and they've always been a pain in the ass, and they're kind of stupid and simple. But you know what?
Kind of.
When you look at the people on the left.
Oh, sure.
I still think we're better off.
Well, that's the part of the media that the media never shows you. You know, so they're more than happy to say the Tea Party is the party of teabaggers, and you know they're all idiots and creationist lovers and stuff. Like, let me invite you, if you're a liberal Democrat, why don't you go to some of these what is it, revivalist churches, fundamentalist churches, born again churches? Guess what? Most of those folks are African-American, vote heavily Democrat.
A lot of them, man.
Yeah, and still think that, like, Jesus is coming back in 30 years to play, like, bingo with them or whatever the fuck.
Years.
You know, whatever it is.
He's,
I have,
coming
no idea.
Next week. Where have you been, boy? Don't you know the world's only 4,000 years old? He could be back any day.
Oh, God. You know, I'm tolerant. Seriously, I'm trying to be as tolerant as possible of other people's ideas and beliefs and shit.
No, you're not.
But, like, deep down. Oh, well, tolerant is different than accepting. I don't accept any of these fucking assholes. But, you know, live your life, you know.
You're neither. I know you.
Larry shooting in the truth. But, yeah, the truth of the matter here is, like, way too many morons, way too many fucking, like, idiotic crackers that can take a situation where they may have been right on instinct, and because they keep talking, make it a fucking mess from head to toe.
In fact, the more they talk, the more of a mess it becomes.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Anyway, Judo Larry, oh, geez, look at this. We've already passed the hour mark on the show.
I'm telling you, time flies.
Time flies when there's, like, shit going on in the world, right?
Yep. When your taint is on fire.
Oh, how do you cool it off?
Oh, well, that's what the cream is for. No, John.
I'm licking the microphone.
Oh, Jesus. All right. And on that note, this has been Judo Larry M.
All right.
I mean, I'm going to do the ending for
once. Okay, go ahead.
This is Judo Larry M.
And Big Fat John.
Peace.
Yo.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.